It was November 13, 2001, an important date for Michelle and I. It was an important date for our relationship. We had been dating for about 8 weeks or so, but that was the day that we first fought. Things had been going smoothly, but it was inevitable. We had to fight. I don't remember exactly what the fight was about, and I asked her in preparation for this, do you remember what it was? And she offered a couple of examples. She was a left-leaning social work major. I was a right-wing conservative Bible student, and so we had quite a few arguments around that time. And as you can tell, we survived it. Why it was important is because in the midst of this argument, we became vulnerable. Was I willing to doom our relationship because I couldn't let her make that statement without addressing it? And like I said already, we survived this fight, and what, we're in 18 years of dating or being together or something like that? That's pretty good. In our complimentary Old Testament reading, something similar happens. Jacob has a fight with God. Jacob. This is not a rhetorical question now. What do you know about Jacob? He wrestled with God. In the womb, he grabbed. He's a trickster. Anyone not in the choir know about Jacob? He went to sleep on the rock and then had this vision of an escalator going up to God. He stole his brother's birthright. Do you remember that story? Esau got his name because he was hairy, right? And so Jacob put goat skin on his body and made his brother's favorite meal and tricked his dad into giving him his birthright, right? He got possession of the land and the blessing and all that. And Esau wasn't happy about it. So Jacob had to run away because, well, Esau very likely would have killed him. And Claire talked about a story that was really important to her at the 9 o'clock service. What was that? Oh, he worked for his wives, right? He worked 7 years, yeah, for Leah and Rachel. All right, so that's who Jacob is. And in our story, we're at the point in which Esau is mad at Jacob. And Esau sends messengers and said, hey, I'm going to come visit you, Jacob, and I'm only bringing 400 of my strongest men. So Esau decides to send his family and all his belongings across the river, and he stays back, and then this thing happens. He wrestled with a man until dawn broke. What an odd story, Jacob wrestling with God. It was funny to talk to the children. Who would win if we got into a rumble? Sorry, Jay, you're only number two. Of course, I'm proud my child said I would win, but I don't know that that would happen. It turns out that in the Bible, there's tons of stories of people wrestling with God. This isn't the only one. You may remember the story of Abraham and Sarah, when God told Sarah, you're going to have a child, and she's 90 years old. She wrestled with God. You may remember the story of Moses, who God told Moses, you need to go and set my people free. And Moses is like, I can't talk. And he went anyway. Job said, look at my body, God. Why is this happening to me? He wrestled with God. Jeremiah over and over again cried out to God. The Apostle Paul had a thorn in the flesh, and he wrestled with God. Thomas, unable to believe that Jesus came back to life, wrestled with God. And even Jesus in the garden, when he's dropping with sweat like blood drops, he wrestled with God. It turns out the Bible is full of stories with people wrestling with God. So my question to you is this morning, when is the last time you wrestled with God? I've asked a number of folks in our congregation that this week, and they said, yeah, I wrestle with God. I said, tell me about it. And so one of the stories was, man, the Yankees are down 3-1, and so I told God, come on. Other people said they try to bargain with God. God, if you could just heal so-and-so. Sometimes it's just being frustrated with the state of the world and saying, God, where are you in the midst of this? And you know, I'm not quite sure if that's wrestling or not. It wasn't until yesterday I asked someone in our congregation who said, I am mad at God because of this. Finally, I found someone who I felt truly wrestled with God. And I wonder if we don't wrestle with God because, let's be honest, how many of you would pick a fight with, say, Dwayne The Rock Johnson? How many of you would get in the ring with Ronda Rousey? And like rock, paper, scissors, when somebody does God, you know you can never win, so why fight anyway? Maybe that's why we don't wrestle with God, or maybe it's something else. Is there anyone here that likes conflict? All right, a couple of us. Pastor Claire's raising her hand, but that is a lie. Last week, in conversation with someone, they said, I really need to tell someone this really important piece of information, the way that other people hear them speak to them, the way other people react when they interact with them. And they said, but I'm really scared to do that because then they're going to yell at me. And so I didn't talk to them anyway. Anybody been in that situation? There's a really important message you have to share with someone, but you know they're not going to react well, so we run in the other direction. And when we do that, we end up hiding a part of ourselves. We're not being our full selves in that because, well, for example, let's say a certain pastor who happens to be female went into my office and took a book and walked out without asking me if she could use that book. I might be, this is hypothetical, don't look over there. And let's say I'm really upset at this other pastor because they did that. And she notices that I'm not talking to her very much, that I'm always quiet and off in the corner. And so she comes in and she says, hey, what's wrong? And not wanting to confront the situation, I say, well, I'm just really sad because the Broncos got blown out by the Chiefs. And she says, whew, I thought he was mad at me. And she goes, yay, we're in harmony. But that's a false harmony, isn't it? I didn't bring my full self. There's this thing between us, and I didn't, hypothetically, this thing between us, and I didn't bring it up. And so this harmony that we have is a false harmony. Noted author Brené Brown refers to this showing up, this being willing to jump in and recognizing that you can't control how the other person will react. You can't control the outcome. She calls this rumbling. And when it comes to our series, What Disciples Do, I always have changed the title. So instead of Wrestle with God, I wonder if we called it Rumbling with God. Rumbling with God. I read a few articles this week from Psychology Today. I Googled conflict and relationships. And most of the articles that came up from Psychology Today said conflict is good for relationships. How many of you believe that? Conflict is good for relationships. Conflict can lead to greater intimacy. Conflict can lead to greater unity. Conflict forces us to evaluate ourselves and to change the way we are. So my question with you is, when was the last time you were in conflict with God? When is the last time you were upset with God? I'm convinced that this is a skill set that we do not possess. It's something that we need to learn, but there's good news. I have a recommended strategy. Anyone who has spent time in counseling has likely heard the phrase I statements. Everyone know what I statements are? Anybody willing to give an example of an I statement? I feel hurt. Well, that's perfect, right? You start off with I feel blank. When you blank, and then I'm going to add just a little tidbit at the end, because. So to use the example, the hypothetical example I used earlier, Pastor Claire, I feel upset when you take the book out of my office without asking because my personal space is invaded. Do you see that? I feel because of, or when, because, right? And so she might respond with an I statement herself. Well, Pastor Paul, I feel happy that you said that this bothered you because it means that you care about our relationship. I assume you're laughing because she would never say that. Now, when I explained this to the 9 o'clock service, someone bravely came up to me and said, you know, I statements, there are groups of us that might feel like it's too brashful, it's too braggy, right? Anybody feel that way? Using I statements is something that's contrary to our culture. Specifically, they said there are politicians who stand up and say I and then follow it with a lot of Tribble. Here's the thing. When's the last time you told God, I feel blank when you blank because of blank? And that's the point for today. When's the last time you rumbled with God? Another example of an I statement that I've used with God. God, I'm a little upset with you right now because a friend of ours was taken because of cancer. She wasn't even 50 years old yet, and it's just not fair. Perhaps you feel the same way. Have you told God this? Have you rumbled with God? Believe it or not, God is big enough. God can handle it. There's a phrase that's said around here and in other churches. It's about relationship, not religion. You guys remember that? It's about relationship. Even in the passage that Pastor Claire read, she said that the Israelites in the past, they needed to have the commandments. They needed to have a checklist to say how you interact with each other. Oh, today's Tuesday. All right, Zach, we got to have a fight today. It's on the checklist. Oh, today's Wednesday. I need to take out the trash. That's not the covenant. That is just a checklist. If you, when God says, my covenant will be written on your hearts, it'll be a part of who you are. It takes disciples who rumble with God, who bring their whole selves to God. Can you imagine a relationship where one half of the relationship doesn't bring their full selves? It ends in contempt and disdain. So if we want to be in relationship with God, we've got to rumble. One final point. I think I have enough time for this. When we rumble with God, when we bring our full selves to God, things change. In our story, Jacob ends up with a limp, and he ends up with a new name, Israel, God contends. And the world was changed for the better. Are you wanting something in your life to change? Are you wanting something to be different? Then rumble with God. And as we rumble, I'm reminded that every time I walk outside of these doors, there's a world of people who want something different. They are dissatisfied with their context. They're dissatisfied with their life the way it is. What would happen if there were a community of people who call themselves part of Mag Press, who rumble with God, who show them what authentic, deep faith looks like, who rumbles with God and creates change in this world? That's just what they're looking for. Will you rumble with God? November 13th, 2001 was an important day in the life of my relationship with Michelle. We rumbled. We fought. Sorry, you might get a wrong image there. Maybe today, October 20th, 2019, will be an important day in your life. It's a day you decide, all right, God, let's rumble. Maybe it's a day that'll change the city. Maybe it's a day that will change the world for the better. All because you said, I feel blank when you blank because of blank. Are you willing to rumble? Let's do it. Join me in prayer. God, at this moment, I have this mix of emotions. I feel happy. I feel sad. Most of all, I feel encouraged by your word, which invites us to rumble with you. In the midst of life this week, when we approach situations that we just want to call out to you and say, what is going on? May be reminded and encouraged to use I statements and to rumble with you. And through that rumbling, may we be changed and in turn change the world. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.